Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Yud. We are holding on Daf Tes Amud Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, about six lines from the end of the page, on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Salian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to compare and contrast the various chumras of Shor, Bar, and Eish, respectively. What chumras does one have over the other, and vice versa. So we're going to compare all three of those types of nezikin. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what exactly is the case where a person who only does part of a nezek is chayiv for the entire nezek, because the Mishnah seemed to allude to such a case where hichsharti b'miktsas nizko, but chafti b'tashlume nizko kachshar kol nizko, that even though I only did some of the nezek, I have to pay for all of it. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out which case is the Mishnah in that cryptic phrasing, which case is it alluding to, and we're going to have five possibilities of what the case is where I only do some of it, but yet I have to pay for all of it. Then the Gemara is going to discuss three different possible sources for the concept of Bailim Metaplim Benevela, and it's going to discuss why we need all three sources. That the Nizik is the one that takes the Nevela, and the Mazik only pays him the difference between the price of the dead animal and the price of the live animal, which is what he essentially did. What his Hezek was, that he took a live animal and he made it dead. So he pays the difference in price between a live animal and a dead animal. Where do we know that concept from? Three possible sources where we know that concept from, and why we need all three possible sources. And that's probably as far as we can get today. So let's begin about from, again, six lines from the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan, maybe seven lines, two, three, four, five, six, seven lines from the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan. So says the Braisa. Tan Rabbanan, Chomer Bishar mi Bibar. That there's a Chomer that Shar, and over here by Shar we mean Keren, that Keren has over Nizke Bar, and Chomer Bibar mi Bishar. And there are certain Chomeras that Nizke Bar have over Nizke Karen. And here they are. Chomer Bishar mi Bibar. The Chomer that you have by Nizke Karen that you don't have by Bar is as follows. Number one, Shashar, that is Shar, that's Muad, that kills a person who's a regular person, kills a regular Ben Chorin. Mishalim es HaKofer. You have to pay a Kofer payment for killing a person. And not only that, V'chayiv B'shloshim Shal Eved. If the Shar that's a Muad kills an Eved Kanani, the owner of that Shar has to pay the Shloshim Shkalim for killing the Eved, whether the Eved is worth more than that or whether the Eved is worth less than that. It's a knas, it's a flat payment of Shloshim Shal Eved. And Nigmardino Asabana, if a Shar kills a person, and then there's a Gmardin that Shar needs Skila for having killed a person, the Shar is Asabana, even if you shecht it before it ever gets the Skila. And number four, V'darko Leiluchula Hazik, it's the derech of a Shar to go and do damage, to move and do damage. And all four of those things, Masha'in Kin Bibar, do not apply to a bar. That a bar, the Baal HaBar does not pay kofar if a Ben Chorin dies in the bar, falls and dies in the bar. He does not pay Shloshim Shkalim if an Eved falls and dies in the bar. The bar is not holy chumazik. The bar stays stationary, doesn't go anywhere. And so you don't have any of those, and obviously you don't have this concept of Nigmar Dino Asar Ba'ana, because there's no such thing as Nigmar Dino. There is no skila that you give to a bar when it kills somebody. So none of those things apply to a bar. All of those things are unique to a shar. Tosus points out, but wait, there's more, meaning there are other things. A shar is a bal chayim, and a bar is not a bal chayim. So Tosus says, yeah, that's included. And when we say that a shar is holy chumazik, and a bar is not holy chumazik, the reason a bar is not holy chumazik is because it's not a bal chayim. And that's why it also doesn't mention that the shar is kavanasa lahazik, as opposed to a bar, that the shar is trying, shar means keren, so it's trying to do damage, as opposed to a bar, where it's not having kavana for anything, because a bar is not able to have kavana, it's an inanimate object. So it's all included in that which we say that it's in Darko Lelech Ula Hazik. So now that's all the chumras they have of Shar over Bar. Now what about the reverse? Chumr b'bar mi b'shar. There are certain chumras that you have by Nizke Bar that don't apply to Shar. Shabar tchilas asiyas al nezek. As soon as you make a bar, it is omeid to do nezek. It's when its initial purpose is for damage. The Ravid explains this is a chumrah in din, meaning that even with a little bit of a digging, it's enough to do some damage and to be chayav for that damage, as opposed to an eish and a shor, where you know a little baby shor can't really do any damage, and a little gacheles doesn't have the ability to do damage unless you fan the flame and make it larger. So when it's very tiny, it can't do anything, but a very tiny bar can do something. Someone could trip in a very tiny bar and still be damaged by it. So you do find that tchilas asiyasa l'nezek, says the Ravid, means that even at the very beginning of the digging, it's already primed to do damage. Umud mitchilaso, and also the very first time that the bar does damage, it already pays nezek shalem, mashen kein b'shar. Neither of these things apply to a shar. A shar is not initially created for damage. When a shar is born into a farmer's flock, we don't say, oh, now another mazik came into the world. No, it's he became wealthier. He has something of value. He has a work animal. We don't assume that it's just for the purpose of hezek. And it's the first time a shor does damage, it only pays chatzi nezek because it's a shor tam, not a shor muad. So chomer shor mi be'esh. Now we compare shor to esh. That shor has certain chomers over esh, and chomer be'esh mi b'shor, and esh has certain chomers over shor. Chomer b'shor mi be'esh. The chomers that shor has over esh. Shashar mishalim kofer. That shor that's a shor muad that kills a ben charin pays kofer. V'chayv mishlosh mishal eved. And if it kills an eved, it pays the shlosh mishkalim again, whether the eved's worth more or less than that. And if it kills a person nigmar dino aser bahana'a, if it has a gemar din, then it's chayv skila. So that shor is going to be aser bahana'a even if you shecht it before the skila. And this is why we're bringing this whole thing, is because the last thing we mentioned yesterday, Shir, is about giving it to a cherishot of a katan, and that's what distinguishes Eish on the one hand from Shor and Bar on the other hand. So that's why we mentioned now Misar l'cherishot of a katan chayiv, that if you were to give the Shor to a cherishot of a katan to watch, and the Shor does damage, the Baal Shor is going to be chayiv for the nezek. Mashain came to Eish. None of these things apply to an Eish. If you light a fire and it kills a person, you don't pay kofar, and if it kills an Eved Kanani, you don't pay shloshim shkalim. And if you can't say that it's not shaykh gemar din by an eish, and if you give it to cherishot of a katan, you're potter when it comes to eish. Now Rashi explains, why is it that you don't pay kofar if it kills a person? Because if the person that it killed was not tied down, so you're not going to be chayv, let the guy run away. Why is he standing there and allowing himself to be burnt? If he's tied down and he's unable to move, so then you're chayv misa, because then you're a murderer if you burn a guy while he's tied down and he cannot move. So you don't pay kofar because kamlei bedrabamina. You wouldn't pay kofar if you're already going to be chayiv misa, because we always apply the more stringent of the two punishments. So Tosfos Beinu Peret says that Rashi is very difficult to understand, because the Gemara is telling us over here, the Brice is telling us over here, that it's never shayich to pay kofar when you burn when someone kills someone with eish. Why? So Rashi explains, because of kamlei bedrabamina. But aren't there cases where you're not going to be chayiv misa, and then it would be shayich to pay kofar? Tosfos Beinu Peret points out, first of all, only according to Rabbi Yochanan that you say isha mishum chitzo, would you be chayiv misa? Because the isha mishum chitzo means that your eish is like your weapon, it's like your arrow, so it's an adam amazik. It's like you did it, so then you're going to be chayiv misa for it. But if you assume like Reish Lakish that isha mishum mamono, that your eish doing damage is the same as your shar doing damage, it's your mamon that's damaging, you're not going to be chayiv misa when your mamon goes and does damage. But unless you literally lit the guy on fire directly. But if you light a fire and then the wind takes it and does damage, you wouldn't be chayiv misa for that. So shouldn't you be chayiv kofar in such a case? Furthermore, says Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says that if kalu lo chitzo, then if you light a fire, for example, and there's a mechitza savanim that prevents the fire from passing, and then the mechitza fell down, and then the fire was able to pass by, so the eish is no longer considered to be chitzo, it's no longer considered to be your arrow, memela you're not going to be chayiv misa, so shouldn't you be chayiv kofar in that case, in the case where you're not going to be chayiv misa? Furthermore, the Petur of Kamlei B'drabineh, says Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, is only if you do two different things at one time, simultaneously. But one maisa that just happens to carry with it two chiyuvim, you don't say Kamlei B'drabineh. A person kills a person that which has a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv kofar, you're not going to say Kamlei B'drabineh. So these are all the kashas that Rabbeinu Peretz asks on Rashi over here. So there's a lot to discuss in terms of that, but we have to go weiter. So says the Gemara, Chomer be'esh mi'beshar. Then you have certain chumras that Eish has over Shor. She Eish mu'edes mitchilasa. And Eish, you're chayiv nezek shalom the very first time. Hashem came b'shar, as opposed to Shor. It's a tam, and the first time it does damage. Chomer be'eish mi b'bar. There are certain chumras that Eish has over bar. Chomer be'bar mi be'eish. Now we're comparing the two that we haven't compared yet, which is bar and Eish. Chomer be'bar mi be'eish. The chumras that bar has over Eish, she tchilas asiyas al nezek, that at the very beginning of the digging of a bar, it's primed to do damage. Masar l'cherishot v'katan chayiv. And if you give a bar to a cherishot of a katan to watch and then it damages, you're going to be chayiv to pay. Mashen kin be'esh, as opposed to an esh, where the lighting of a fire is not considered tchilas asiyas al nezek. And we assume that if you give it to a cherishot of a katan, you're going to be potter. Chomer be'esh mi b'bar, the chomer that esh has over bar, is she'esh darka leilich lazik, that an esh, it's the way that it does damage is by traveling. And mu'edas lechol, bein davar aroyla, bein davar she'en aroyla. And it is, you're going to pay nezek shalem, whether it damages that which is ra'oi for it to damage, things that normally get burnt, that are normally flammable material like wood, or whether it's something that's enoroila, like a kli that normally you wouldn't light, as of mashen kein babar, as opposed to a bar, where those dinim don't apply. It's not darko leilich lazik, and you're only chayiv on something that it is normal for it to get damaged when it falls into a bar. But you're patur on something that's not normal for it to get damaged when it falls into a bar, like an adam v'kelim, where it's not shchiach that they fall into a bar. The listening chomer b'shar mi b'bar. Why don't we mention one chomer that shar has over bar? Shashar chayiv bo sakelim. That if a shar damages kelim, your chayiv mashen kin b'bar. Whereas by a bar, your potter if it damages kelim, because the pasuk says v'nafal shama shar o chamor. So the gemara darshins on dafnim gimlam beis chamor v'lo kelim. That there's a ptur kelim b'bar. You're not going to be chayiv for any kelim that get damaged in a bar. So why don't we mention that one? So says gemara hamani Rabbi No, because we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that you chayiv for niske kelim b'bar, that if kelim get damaged in the bar, you do have to pay. Well, frankly, Gemara, e Rabbi Yehuda, wait, if this price is going like Rabbi Yehuda, e maseifa, how do you read the rest of the price? It says, chomer be'esh mi b'bar, that the chomer that esh has over bar, she'esh tarka leil chlaskum v'adislechol bein dover roila, bein dover she'en roila, that an esh travels and damages, and it damages both that which is ro'ila and that which is not ro'ila, mashen kin b'bar. As opposed to a bar, where a bar is not going to be chayir for a davar she'ein ra'oila. What do you think we mean by that when we say a davar she'ein ra'oila? Davar ra'oila ma'ininu eitzim. Davar ra'oila, I understand what that is. For a fire, to normal thing for it to damage would be wood. Davar she'ein ra'oila ma'ininu kelim. Ein ra'oila is referring to kelim. And what do we say? Masha'ein kein b'bar. That a bar is potter on broken kelim. Kelim in a bar. Say Rabbi Yehuda, Har Mechayvay Rabbi Yehuda al Niske Kelim in a bar. But if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, if this price is following Rabbi Yehuda, didn't we say that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayiv for Niske Kelim in a bar? So again, what brought about this issue was we asked that the price seemed to have left out one chumrah that Shar has over bar, that Shar is chayiv for Kelim and bar isn't. So we thought we can get out of it by saying, oh no, we're assuming that bar is also chayiv for Kelim. But we said that if you just read Vayter in the Brisa, it says that bar is not chayiv for something that's ein ra'oila, which presumably means kelim. Elo liolam rabbanan. It must be that we're assuming like the rabbanan that you take our potter from kelim in a bar. Then we're back to our original question. Why didn't it list that as one of the chumras that shar is over bar? That shar you chayiv for kelim and bar you potter from kelim. Tanav Ashir, yeah, leaves off some examples. Doesn't give every example of every chumra that one has over the other. Says Gemara, my shir da'ai shir. No, the rule is you can only say Tanav Ashir if there's more than one item left off the list. So says Gemara, there is shir tamun, that it leaves off the idea that eish is patar on tamun, that if a shard damages something that's hidden, that's in a bag and you can't see it, or a bar damages something that's in a bag and you can't see it, you're just as chayiv as if it were exposed. But when it comes to eish, special halacha, that by Eish, if it burns something that's Tamun, you're going to be potter from Tamun Be'esh. So it leaves that one off. Or maybe the price is really going like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're chayiv on kelim in a bar. Ay barar kasha, and that was, then it said in the end of the brisa that in a bar you're pater on a davar she'ein ra'ila. Isn't that referring to kelim? No, the davar she'ein ra'ila lav lasuye kelim. It's not referring to kelim. El lasuye lichaniro v'sichcha avanav. Davar she'ein ra'ila means if a fire went and burnt up ground before you ever planted in that ground, so it destroyed plowed ground where now it's not going to be rutway for planting in, or it burnt some stones. Those are not normal things to happen. So as opposed to a bar, which is not shayich the hezek of karka in a bar, so you wouldn't discuss such things by a bar. That's davar she'ein ra'ui la. So maskef l'Ravashi. Ravashi asks on this teretz that the brice is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and that it left nothing out. It's including all of the chumras that each one has over the other. Well, how come lisni chomer b'shar mi babar shashar chayv b'shar p'sulei mekdashin? It didn't really list everything. Why didn't it list that one chumra that shar has over bar, that if a shar gored and killed the shar p'sulei mekdashin, meaning p'sulei mekdashin was a shar that was designated to be brought on the mizbeach, and then it developed a mum, and the bailim had to be poda it for money, so it's now considered his property, but it's aser begiza. You're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to drink its milk, and if it dies, you're not allowed to feed its nevela to the dogs. Masha'in kein babar. So if a bar of kills sharp sulei mekdashim, the balabar does not have to pay. Why is that true that he does not have to pay? Because the pasuk says that when your bar kills an animal, v'hames yelo, that you get to keep the nevela, and that's valuable to you, so you could feed it to the dogs. Ooh, but if it's sharp sulei mekdashim, you can't feed it to dogs. So the whole chiyuv of bar doesn't apply to sharp sulei mekdashim. Only the chiyuv of shor applies to sharp sulei mekdashim. So how come it doesn't list that as one of the chumras that shor has over bar? So it says Gemara, I amrit bishlama rabbanan hi. If we're assuming like that, that the bride's going like the rabbanan, where we said anyway ton of ashir, because we already left out tamun, and we already left out kelim babar, we already left out a bunch of stuff. So I did the shir ach, shir namihach. So since we left out another couple of chumras, we left out this chumra also. Eliam Rabbi Yehuda, my shir de I shir. But if we're assuming that, like Rabbi Yehuda, that every single chumra that one has over the other is identified in this brisa, how can you just say it left something out? So it says, well, no, left out other stuff also. Dear Dosh Beniro, that if a shar tramples on a plowed field with the intention to destroy it, the bala shar is going to be chayiv as opposed to by a bar, where it's not shaykh to say nizke karka. There is no nizke karka in a bar. Karka doesn't fall into a bar. Imishim Dosh Beniro says, well, if that's the whole thing, lav shiuru, if that's the din that was left out, that's not really considered left out. Ta'atana shkein darko leilch ulahazik. That l'chora is already incorporated in darko leilch ulahazik. And therefore, it doesn't seem that you can say that left something out. So again, we're back to the question that if you assume that the brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda and that nothing is left out of the brisa, how come it didn't mention the chumra of shor over bar, that psula, that you're chayiv for psula mekdashin when a shor kills a sharp psula mekdashin, but not when a bar kills a sharp psula mekdashin? And the Gemara doesn't seem to answer that question at all. So now the Gemara moves on to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Ichsharti b'miktsas nizko," that if I did some of the, if I prepared and set into motion some of the damage, I have to pay kol nizko. So Tanu Rabbanan, "Ichsharti b'miktsas nizko, chavti b'tashlumei nizko, kachshir kol nizko." I have to pay the whole thing just like I did the whole thing. Ketzad, what exactly is the case of that? We're going to have five possibilities of what the case is where I only did some of it, but I have to pay for all of it. Hachofer bar, if a person digs a bar in Rosh Hashanah, tisha, that's 9 tfachim deep, uba'acher v'shlima la'sara, then another guy comes along and digs that 10th tefach, and then a shor dies, falls in that bar and dies, or is damaged in that bar, ha'achron chayiv. The guy who dug that last tefach is chayiv to pay for the entire nezek, even though he only prepared some of the bar. Someone else dug the first 9 tefachim, and without the first 9 tefachim, his last tefach wouldn't have done anything without the first 9 being dug. He only dug 1 tefach. Still, we view it as if he dug a 10 tefach deep bar. Udolok Rabbi, but this is against the Shita of Rabbi. Titanya, because the Braisa tells us, Hachofer bar tisho ba'achar v'shlim alasara. Exactly this case, if one guy comes along and digs a 9 tefach bar, and then another guy comes and is mashlim alasara, achron chayiv. The last guy is going to be chayiv, So that's the Tanakama. But Rebbe Omer Achar Achrol Lemisa Achar Shnei Lizakin. No, if someone dies in the bar, so then in a chenam, if the shor falls into the bar and dies, then the second guy is going to be chayiv, because we assume a 9 tefach bar is not kidei lahamis, would not have killed an animal. So if the animal drops dead in the bar, so then the second guy is going to be chayiv. But if it only gets damaged in the bar, then they're both going to be chayiv, because they both contributed to that damage. So we're assuming not like the Shita of Rabbi. We're assuming when we say in our Mishnah that when I do some of the damage, I prepare some of the damage, I have to pay for the whole damage. It means I dig that 10th tefach. That's against Rabbi. Rav Papa Amar Lemisa V'Divrei HaKal. No, it's not against Rabbi, because in our Mishnah we're talking about where a shor dies in the bar, not where a shor gets damaged in the bar. And everyone agrees that if the shor dies in the bar, only the guy who dug the 10th tefach is going to be chayiv. Igadamri, others say Lema Delo Karebi. Others have this conversation slightly differently, that should we suggest our Mishnah is against Rabbi, because according to Rabbi, the bar belongs to both of the parties who helped with the digging. So Amar Papa, no, Lemisa V'Divrei HaKol. The Mishnah is talking about if a shor dies in that bar, and therefore it's the Mishnah is following everybody. Even Rebbe would say that only the second guy is going to be chayiv. So the Gemara brings Amoraim that asked on the Braisa that spoke about if you dig a tefach and you're mashal na'asara, didn't speak about other cases. Meaning the Gemara says, really, that's the only case you could think of where you do some, you prepare some of the damage and you're chayiv for everything? We could think of four others. So Maskavla Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir says, Visulaka, is there no other case where you prepared some of the damage and yet you chayiv for everything? What about the case where you give your shor to five people to watch? One of them is Poshea and did not watch it properly, and then it goes and does damage. So the guy who was Poshea and did not watch it is chayiv to pay for the entirety of the damage, even though he was only one of five shomrim. So he's only part of the cause of the damage, and yet he's going to have to pay for the whole damage. So it says, well, hechidami, what exactly is the situation of there? Elim de belavi yulav minter, if you're going to say that you need all five people to hold this shor down, that it would not be considered protected without five people watching it. Well, pshita diukav, he's the only one that did damage, meaning he didn't do part of that. He did it all. The other four guys were holding on as tight as they can. You needed the koach of five people. That's why he hired five people to do it. You let go, and the shor did damage. Of course you're going to be chayiv. El deblavi hu nami minter. No, the case must be that any one of these guys could do the shemira. Well, then my kavod, why was he poshea, not being shomer? Why would he be chayiv at all? There are another four guys that should have been watching it. So the Gemara asks another kasha. I'll give you another case that's why that case doesn't work. Meaning we wanted to suggest that a case of preparing some of the damage where you chayiv for the whole thing is that five people were hired to watch a shor, and one of them was poshea, and that guy has paid for everything. So the Gemara says, it's not true. It says there's no such case, because if he's needed for watching, of course he has to pay everything, because he did the whole damage. And if he's not needed for watching, then he doesn't have to pay everything. So that case doesn't work. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another case, where you prepare some of the damage, and you're chayiv for all of it. So Maskva Rav Sheshes says, Va'ika marba b'chavila. Someone lights a pile of wood on fire. Someone else comes and adds fuel to the fire. He adds more wood to the fire, so that strengthens the fire, and now the fire is able to go and do damage. So we're only mechayev the guy who added that extra fuel, even though he didn't do the whole fire, he didn't supply the initial fire and the initial fuel to the fire, and yet he has to pay for everything. So answers the Gemara, no, that's not a good example of a chsharti miktsas nisko, because hechidami, what exactly is the case? If without his additional fuel, the fire would not have done anything, it just would have petered out, it just would have would have extinguished itself. So pshita, then obviously he's going to be chayiv. He did the whole damage. El deblav ihu azla. So what? You're going to say that it would have done the damage even without him? Well, then my kavod, what did he do by adding a chavila? So we should pater him. And that's why the Braisa doesn't quote that case as being a case of chsharti miktsas nizko. The Rambam in Chavalu Mazik, Perek Vav, explains the din of marba b'chavila slightly differently. That five five people put five chavilos on a behema and it didn't die, and then another person added another chavila and the animal just dropped dead from the weight of the burden. So it's not about a fire, it's about killing an animal. And the Magen Mishnah explains that according to the Rambam, the Girsa and the Gemara must be the opposite. That if without him the animal would have been haleches, it would have, haleches over here would mean, meaning if it's about eish, haleches is bad. It means it goes and it does damage. If it's about killing the animal, haleches is good. Haleches means that the animal continues to live another day and walks around in the shuk and that it's fine. So then it would be pashut that the achron is chayiv. But without him, if it would not have been haleches even without him, that's a way of saying that it would have died without him, well then my ka'avid, and of course he's going to be pater. So the Rambam must have had a different gears in the Gemara, and therefore he interpreted it to be about killing an animal and not about an eish. But anyway, so says Gemara, I'll give you a fourth possibility of what the Mishnah might have been talking about. Maskevlar of Papa, another case of Ichsharti Miktsas Nisko, but yet I have to pay for the whole thing. Vayika Adetanya, there's the one that's taught in a Braisa. Chamish Shiyoshval Safsal Echad, Velo Shvaruhu. Five people sit on one bench and it does not break. Uba Echad, Vyashvalav Ushvaru. And then a sixth guy comes and sits down and the bench breaks. Ha'achron Chayiv, only the sixth guy is going to be Chayiv, even though it's the cumulative weight of everybody. Va'amar of Papa, Kigon Papa Baraba. And Papa says we're talking about someone who's very, very heavy, like Papa Baraba, who is a very heavy person. So you see that the even though the last guy only added weight to the weight that was already on the bench, so he was only Machsher Miktsas Nisko, he pays Kol Nisko. So says Gemara, that's not a good example either of Ichsharti Miktsas Nisko, because again, Hechidami, Ilem de Blavi Ilo Itbar, if without him it would not have broken, well, in Pshita, then obviously he's going to be the one that's Chayiv. The bench was fine. He sat down. Now the bench is not fine. Ella de Balavi Unami Itbar. No, it must be that it was going to break. So what? You're going to tell me that it was going to break anyway? Well, then my Kavid. What did he do if it was going to break anyway? So says Mar Sof Sof Masnisa Chimitarza. But wait, that one was a Braisa, right? We said that how are you going to be Miyashik the Braisa of five people sitting on a bench? If without the last guy it would not have broken its Pashut, then the Braisa doesn't need to tell me this din. And if without him it would have broken anyway, then this din is incorrect. We should pat to the last guy. So what exactly is the Braisa? I mean, previously we were just coming up with new cases. So we said, no, none of these cases are true. This case is true, and apparently the Braisa thinks it's a chiddush, that if the last guy sits down, he's going to be chayiv. So what's the case? So the tzricha, no, the case of the Braisa must be, debelaviyu avi mitbar betreshai, that had the last guy not sat down, it would have taken 2 hours for the bench to break. Vahashta itbar b'chadasha, but now that he added this weight to it, so it broke in only 1 hour. Da amrilei, the five people could say to the last guy, ilav. We weren't going to sit there for so much longer. We were only planning on sitting there for another hour and a half. We were not going to sit there for another 2 hours, and therefore the bench would not have broken. It's only because you came that it ended up breaking in the amount of time that we were planning on sitting there. So even if five people were continued to sit on the bench would not have broken without the last guy. So then it's pashut that the last guy would be chayiv, and if the bench would have broken, from those people after 2 hours, and because the last guy sat there, it broke after 1 hour, so then the last guy is going to be chayiv. So the Gemara asks on both of those dinim that I just mentioned. Din number one, again, that if the bench would not have broken at all without the last guy, then obviously the last guy is chayiv. And even if the bench would have broken without the last guy, but it would have taken 2 hours, and now the last guy sits there and it breaks in 1 hour, also the last guy is chayiv. So says Gemara, v'lei meluhu, why doesn't that guy say to the others, ilav atun, if you weren't sitting on the bench, bedidi lo avamitbar, my weight alone would not have broken this bench. So as soon as I sat down, you know what you should have done? You should have stood up. You should have seen that this bench cannot handle this amount of weight, and you should have stood up. Says the Gemara, that really we're talking about that without the last guy, the bench never would have broken. Lo tzricha, debahadi desamach bu tavar, the price that says that he's going to be chayiv is talking about a case where when he at the time that he stood up and he leaned on them, the bench broke. Even though he himself was not sitting on the bench, then he's going to be chayiv. So says Mar Pshit, of course he's going to be chayiv. He leaned on them, and that's what pushed that force broke the bench. Now Mal Tema Kocholav Kaguf Adami. I might have thought that if you break something with the force of you pushing, that's not considered gufo. That's not considered your body actually doing the damage. So Kamash Melon De Kochol Guf Adami. That's why it's teaching me a chid. In any case, that if your body would have broken it, you'd be chayiv to pay. When your koach breaks it, you're also chayiv to pay. And now the Gemara suggests a fifth and final suggestion of what's a case of ichsharti b'miktsas nisko and I'm chayiv in kol nisko. V'suleka v'yika hadetanya. There's the case in the following brisa. Hiku asar b'nei adam be'eser makalos. If 10 people beat up a guy with 10 sticks, bein b'basachas, bein b'zeh acharzeh, whether they all hit him at the same time or they take turns, v'meis, and then the guy dies. Even if each one hit him strongly enough that it could have killed him, kulam peturin, they're all part from Misas Beis Din, because if they hit him at one time, we don't know which one actually dealt the blow that killed him. And if they hit him b'zeh acharzeh, even though each one was makarevis misaso, there's no chi of misa unless you took the guy's entire nefesh, the entire chius out of the person. If you only took miktsas nefesh out of the person, like your makarev misaso, of someone who was going to die soon anyway, you're not going to be chayiv misa. But you don't say Ra'omer, no, if they strike him one after the other, so we know when he died. He died from that last strike, even though he was going to die anyway, but you were makari of his misaso. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, you're going to be chayiv misa for such a thing. So why don't we give that as one of the explanation of our Mishnah of ichsharti b'miktsas nisko and yet I'm chayiv for the whole thing? No, because b'ktal lo kamari. Our Mishnah is not talking about death. Our Mishnah is only talking about nezek. Or it could be that beplukta lo kamari. Our Bryce is not talking about in the case of machlokas tanoim, and over here it's a machlokas between Rabbi Ben Maseir and the Rabbanan. Velo, v'akmin the lo karebi. What do you mean our Bryce is not getting involved in the machlokas? We already said that our Bryce is going not like Rabbi, because we said that if you dig a bar of Tisha and then someone else comes and is mashlim ala asara, that's against Rabbi. Rabbi holds that they're both chayiv and nizakin. So delok Rabbi ukarabanan. So the Gemara answers, no, to say that it's going like shita the chachamim, which we paskin like against Rabbi mukminan, that we're okay with. But Rabbi didim say Rabbi lo karabanan, lo mukminan. Meaning we might get involved in machlokas as long as we come out on the winning side. Meaning the brisa might be taking sides in the machlokas as long as it's taking the side of the Rabbanan, but the Brisa is not going to take sides in the Machlokas against the Shita of the Rabbanan. That's what the Brisa is not getting involved with. Now this sugya of doing some of the damage and yet being chayiv for the whole thing is brought up by Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe when in Chosh Mishpah Chelet Beis Simin Yuches, when he was asked about smoking cigarettes in a Beis Medrash or in a shul where a lot of people are davening or learning there, and there are some of the Avreichim in the Kollel that can't tolerate the smoke, and it's difficult for them to breathe in the smoke, and they're going to get sick from it and then get headaches from it, and that it's possible that secondhand smoke will shorten someone's life. And he says it's something that's a mazik of many people. So mela, we should be choshesh that there are those who are going to get sick from the smoke, and the people who are smoking are doing damage in the Beis Medrash. So the Shoel wanted to be makel, because he said each one on his own is not doing any damage. It's only the hitstarfus of all the different people that are smoking together that does all the damage. So you can't, there's no single guy you can go over to and say your smoke is killing me, because it's only all the different smokers that are together. It's amazing, like this wasn't even that long ago. This is where Moshe Feinstein, and it was like normal to smoke in it. Even most yeshivas now, you're not even allowed to smoke outside of Beis Medrash, but I don't think there's any yeshiva where you're I've never been to a yeshiva where you're allowed to smoke in the Beis Medrash, but this was a thing that people were just sitting there smoking all day in the Beis Medrash. So the Shoel wanted to say that you can't stop the guys from smoking. You need to smoke. You can be mevatel their Torah, they have to go outside to smoke. You can't do that, because each one is not going to be each one cannot be identified as hurting you. So Rav Moshe writes, you can't be matir because of that, because that one of them, each one is not being mazik, because even though each one is not being mazik, still each one knows that there are a lot of other people smoking. So he knows that his smoke is going to be part of that damage. Like it says in our sugya, that shnayim sheziku, two people who damage together, they're both going to be chayv, and each one cannot pater himself with the taina that he alone is not being mazik. So Moshe ultimately asers midin hilchos shcheinim, and then he says, that which someone aser because it's gorim bittel Torah. So he says, that's not really the taina because it's gorim bittel Torah for the smokers also. Meaning it's not only gorim bittel Torah for the people who don't like it. It's gorim bittel. So the bittel Torah is not the issue. It's just niskei shcheinim. You can't do that. You're not allowed to damage other people. But it's an interesting svara that even if you yourself, you alone, aren't doing anything, but if in the cumulative you're part of something that is much greater, so then that is achrayus, right? One of the times that people don't want to go to the rally on Tuesday is, okay, they're going to have 500,000 people, so 500,001 is going to make a difference. No, if in the cumulative you yourself, you know, if everyone made your decision, so you can't just tie up. But not everyone's making my decision. No, but if everyone made your decisions, then it's immoral. You have to make the decision to be part of something that's going to be significant. Other svaras also why that's okay. It's the Tanaim say l'chuv v'efkinu. You have to go make afkani. You have to. It's an obligation that a Jew has to do. Anyway. So now the Gemara says, "Chavti b'tashlumei nizko." We had said in the Mishnah that if I prepared some of the nezek, I have to pay for all the damages if I did everything. So chavti b'nizko lo katani ela b'tashlumei nizko. It doesn't say that chavti b'nizko. If it would have said that, I would have said that the mazik has to pay the nizik the price of a live shar because he had killed the shar, so pay the full price of a live shar. It doesn't say that. It says tashlumei nizko, which makes it sound like he pays for the difference between the price of a live shar and the price of the nevela of a dead shar. So tanina la d'tan rabbanan. The Mishnah is being meduyak to teach us that which we learned in the Brisa, that tashlumei nezek milamit shabaylim metaplim b'nevela. That tashlumei nizko means that the baylim is going. The nizik takes the nevela, and that's part of his payment, and the rest of his payment is the difference between the cost of the nevela and the cost of a live animal. So minani. How do I know that din in the Torah? So meaning I see that the Mishnah is saying it. Where do I find that in the Torah? To Amar Krak, because the pasuk says, "Makay nefesh behema yishalmena." Al tikrei yishalmena ella yashlimena. Not that you pay it, but that you are mashlim the difference. That you've already paid some of it because he has the nevela still. So you just mashlim it. That's one source. Rav Kadamar mehacha. I have a different source. He says to teach me ba'alim etaplam b'nevela. Im terof yitereif yivieu eid hatreifa lo yishalem. So we darsh in the Paskim, Terof Yitrefi V'ehu, that if the animal was Nitraf B'Pshia, so he has to bring the money, but Ad Trefa Yishalim, up until the value of the Nevela you pay. Trefa Atzmo Lo Yishalim, but the actual value of the Nevela you don't have to pay, because he's going to keep the Nevela. Chizki Amar Me'achai, I have a third source, he says, that tells me Bailim Metabim B'Nevela, because it talks about a shar that gores another shar and kills it. So it says, V'Ames Yelo. So Linizik, the means that the nizik keeps the nevela. V'chein tan debei chizkia. V'ames yelo the nizik. Atom le nizik way no le mazik. How do you know that works that way? Maybe the mazik gets the nevela, then he's got to pay cash for the entire value of an animal. So I'm lo kachaya. It can't be that way. My lo kachaya. What do you mean it can't be that way? Why not? So I'm rabbi isal kadayf the nevela dim mazik havia. Because if you can say that the nevela goes to the mazik, lichtov rachmanas shor tachas hashor. Let the pasuk say only shalem yishalem shor tachas hashor. V'lishtok. And let it not say anything beyond that. Vamesiyelo lomeli. Why does it have to add the phrase vamesiyelo? Shemamin el nizik. That phrase vamesiyelo is telling me that the nizik keeps the nevela and the mazik pays the difference in price between the live animal and the nevela. So basically, we have three psukim that tell me bailim etapim bin nevela. One about an adam that damages a behema. One about a shomer sachar, and one about a shor that damages a shar. So why do I need all three psukim? Utzricha. I need all three for the following reason. If it only would have told me in the context of an adam that damages a behema biyadayim, I would have said, yeah, that's where the Torah is makel on the mazik, that he doesn't have to be metapel b'nevela mishum t'lo shchicha. How often does that happen? That a guy gets into a bullfight and he hurts the bull, right? You know, that he's doing damage to the bull. Aval trefa t'shchicha, but trefa, which is very common, that a behema will become a trefa, and the shomer should have guarded it and protected it so that it shouldn't get injured. So that's a more common thing. Amalo, I would have said that you can't. I would have said to be machmer in him that he should be metapel b'nevela. So tricha. So that's why it has to tell me that no. Still by the metapel b'nevela, the mazik is not the one that has to take the nevela off of the hands of the nizik. V'yashmin treif. And if it only would have told me the case of a Shomer Behema, where the Behema became a Trefa, I would have said that's where the Torah is Mekel on the Shomer, Mishum de Mimela, because it became a Trefa Mimela by another animal attacking it. The Shomer didn't do anything, Biadayim, he just didn't watch it. Avlamaka Behema to Biadayim, but where a human being actually hurts the animal, Biadayim, Emelo, I would have said that the Torah is not Mekel on him, and he's got to deal with the Nevela. V'yashmin Hanitarti, and if it only would have told me these two psukim about an Adam that damages a Behema directly, and about a Shomer who just didn't guard the Behema, so the Behema was attacked by another animal, I would have said that it's Dafka. In such a case, the Torah is Mekel that the Nizik keeps the Nevela. Ha, Mishum de lo Shchicha, the case of the Adam damaging because it's not Shchiach. Va, Mishum de Memela, and the case of the Shomer because that happened Memela. Aval Va'mesia lo, that it says by a Shor that causes another Shor, De Shchicha, where it is very common for one Shor to hurt another, if one Shor to hurt another Shor, Ubi Adayim, and it's an act of damage, Emelo, I would have said we shouldn't be so Mekel on the Mazik, and we should make the Mazik keep the Nevela and pay the full price of a Shor out of pocket. So the Iashmin and Vamesi alone, if it only would have told me Vamesi alone, meaning it only would have told me the case of a Shor Shenogach Es HaShor, and it would not have told me the other two cases, I would have said Mishum de Mamona Kamazik, since it's only his Mamon that did the damage. That's why you don't, the Mazik is not going to be responsible for the Nevela. Aval Hacha de Begufa Mazik, but in the case of an Adam Mazik or a Shomer that was Poshea, where it's a human being that that ultimately was responsible for what happened, say Emelo, I would have said that we shouldn't be so Mekel on the Mazik. He's the one that did the Hezek. So Tzricha, so that's why I need all of these Psukim to tell me that in all three cases, it's the Nizik who needs to be Metapel B'Nevela, and the Mazik only has to pay the difference between the price of a live animal and a Nevela. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll begin with Amalei Rav Kahana, Lirav. Everyone have a good day.